the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our lesson is the text just read. We'd especially like to focus on these words of Jesus to the disciples. The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not. As seminarians, your vocation is to a life of learning. You are called to know the biblical languages so you can expound the original text. You are called to know the confessions and the systems of theology and philosophy that have characterized the discipline. You're called to know its history, also that you might be good practitioners of the gospel. Now, because that's your daily calling, I suspect that by now your senses are so refined that on a Friday night, what you prefer is a symphony or some serious theater. But if, perchance, there's a Felicity, either among the students or the faculty, that on Friday night does something like watch James Bond movies, we have to inquire what we can do with such a pilgrim in Advent time. Well, I, for one, would suggest that that pilgrim look to a flick called For Your Eyes Only, which had spectacular footage of Greek monasteries perched atop sharp stone outcroppings in northern Greece. The photography is remarkable, and if one discounts the plot and the characters, there's something to be learned already in that setting. For as you read about these monasteries, you discover something of the piety that constructed them. Men and women for centuries brought their sons, sometimes at a very youthful age, to be lifted in a basket up to one of those pinnacles, and there to spend their whole life in prayer, some of them never to touch the earth again. Now, why would they do such a thing? Well, one big theological rationale was that that company would be the first to greet the Lord in his return, and the pious wanted to be first as they hymned and sang his arrival. Today, the text that our Lord speaks suspends you and me as well. The time is coming, he says, when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, there he is, or here he is, but do not go running after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Christ warns his disciples that they will be suspended, caught up between two worlds. They know and have seen what Christ has done, but they also eagerly await its full display. And so they must wait and watch his suffering. And after his glorious resurrection and ascension, they must again wait his return with anticipation and with longing. This tension between the even now and the not yet is something that we need to embrace rather than flee. If one looks around at the Christologies of our day, whether it be academic Christologies like that of Bultmann or Schillebeck's, or a more popular Christology wherein Christ conforms exactly to our cultural and personal ambitions, what both of these do is release the tension. They don't make us strangers and pilgrims on earth. No, we remain flat-footed. And whether our preference is for a mind game on the one hand or a religious buzz on the other, what we feel is satisfied. And we feel satisfied, but our soul is not satisfied with the bread of life. When that bread comes, we are set on a journey. And today's text catches us up on that journey and alerts us to be cautious, to not let our anticipation lead us to a false identification. And it's important to know that there were many messianic pretenders in the Second Temple Jewish tradition. The disciples would be tempted, and Christians would be tempted to identify the Lord's return before it was. Well, how are we caught up? How are we set on that journey as surely as these monks were suspended between heaven and earth? Well, in this Advent, as we journey again to Bethlehem, we recall that we were lifted up at a font, and that the pastor lifted water and baptized us into the name of the triune God. And from that moment on, we have been betwixt and between. We have belonged to the one who has gone ahead and who has promised that he would come, but with lightning-like speed. He encourages us to wait. And that's what's hard. To make repeated pilgrimages to Bethlehem is hard. We want to go to heavenly Jerusalem, and yet we hover between earthly Bethlehem and heavenly Jerusalem, and the question is, how can we endure the betwixt and the between? Well, surely there is only one way, and that is to look to him who was suspended on a cross, who there holds up before us in explicit and public display God's grace. He who was lifted up for us has lifted us beyond all earthly categories. And so we come to his means of grace, secure in his arms, forgiven at the font, fed at the altar, absolved by his holy word. We can wait and wait and wait. If necessary, we can wait a whole lifetime, because we have already seen the end of our journey, that salvation that has burst forth on Easter morn, that salvation that is already present in the babe of Bethlehem. As we this Adventide journey again, it doesn't make much difference whether our tastes are refined and sublime or ridiculous and curlish. What does make a difference is that we live in this tension, in this anticipation, in this faith that his word is certain, that his forgiveness is complete, and that our journey has already, in a sense, arrived, for Christ has done it all well. We need not look for another, but we need to look to him, to his birth, to his life, to his reign on high. May God grant you another pleasant journey to Bethlehem and a gracious suspension between the worlds in the gracious arms of your Savior, so that the words we hymned may ever ring in our souls, O Savior, rend the heavens wide, come down with mighty stride, unlock the gates, the doors break down, unbar the way to heaven's crown. Amen.